Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, and it feels like a rewind. It feels like we're doing Saturday's podcast all over. On Saturday, we were talking about a 70-39 UNLV blowout of Colorado State. Tonight, a 78-62 blowout of TCU. The final score doesn't look as wide as Saturday's, but UNLV led comfortably almost the entire way. Led by as many as 31 in the second half before ultimately running away with it. 16 points apiece from Trayvon Willis and Chase Stanback leads the way for UNLV, who is now 21-7 and 9-5 overall. And Ray, maybe the most important thing in there, the 9-5, because ties them in third with San Diego State in the Mountain West standings, who lost 82-68 tonight in Provo. And via tiebreaker, UNLV's in third.
Ron, we knew that they were going to beat Colorado State. We knew they'd beat TCU, but we didn't know how they would beat them. And, yeah. And it's been, I mean, very impressive. Tonight, what stood out for me, especially in the first half, is UNLV went with a little bit of a press, a full-court press, and they forced a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad passes from TCU, made TCU look silly, and led to some real easy baskets. And UNLV, not just a victory, a victory to build on. We knew they needed to close out strong. So far, so good. Two down, two to go before the league tournament, and a lot of bright points to build on tonight. One thing that kind of stood out for me was the there was a few guys that had double figures. Everybody contributed. I think Justin Hawkins had those, you know, five assists, four rebounds. It may be one of his best games with UNLV. Kendall Wallace hit four three-pointers. It was great. Bryce Masamba, 10 points, 9 boards, very serviceable.
Well-rounded for the second game in a row.
Well-rounded, and just a balanced effort. And I know we've talked a few times where, okay, UNLV needs to get an established kind of third threat. Well, if you could get that kind of balance throughout, maybe that third threat isn't exactly needed.
And keep in mind, Saturday was the first time in conference season in which UNLV had four players score in double figures, and they do it again tonight. Like you said, you mentioned all those great numbers individually, and everybody who touched the floor for UNLV scored a bucket, at least one tonight. And but let's go back to talking about the defense, because that really was the story here for the Rebels. 21 turnovers for TCU, 7 of them in the first 4 minutes. And that full court press, saw UNLV working on it the last couple days in practice, and the big reason behind it was because UNLV thought that TCU did not have the ball handlers, or at least the amount of ball handlers to break that press regularly, and they were right, because outside of Ronnie Moss, who still was forced into 4 turnovers with his 5 assists, TCU was giving the ball up a lot, and heck, even in the second half, they ran out of timeouts with more than 11 minutes left to play.
Do you think the press is something they're going to pull out for other teams in the league, or do you think it was just, you know, tailor-made for TCU because of the ball handling struggles?
Well, now look at it this way. There's certain teams that you can do it with. There's certain that you can't. San Diego State really only has a couple of quality ball handlers. New Mexico, maybe only a couple of quality ball handlers. But then you look at a team like BYU. Ball handlers across the board almost. 3 of their starters can bring it up. UNLV has a lot of ball handlers, so you're not going to see a lot of teams try to do that on them. Even going down the league standings, Air Force on Saturday has a good amount of guys who can handle the ball and move it up the floor. So maybe it's not something you see again on Saturday when UNLV hits the floor again up in Colorado Springs. But, tonight, give the coaching staff a lot of credit. They saw it the first time around that TCU really didn't trust a lot of guys to bring the ball up other than Ronnie Moss, who, keep in mind, one of the really unheralded stars of this league on the year, averages about 14 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and led all scorers of 25 tonight. But I mean, one man can't do it alone when they're pressing you like that.
Ryan, you obviously have the best seat at the Thomas and Mack Center. You're courtside. You hear all the noise as you see everything. I'm up in a little bit of an auxiliary section. Great game by UNLV. Belfield 7 assists. Stanback 16 points. Trevon solid again, 16 points. But I got a question. The loudest applause tonight came for what? What play? Huh. Only one answer.
Wow. This might have been when I wasn't paying the closest attention.
Okay, and I'm sorry to throw you under the
bus. Oh, no. I'm curious. What was it?
when Chop Jones scored a bucket. Of course. No doubt about it. And what a great...
Off a great feed from Justin Hawkins.
And that kind of... And what I wanted to develop was UNLV 25 assists tonight. Great ball movement. Really got the ball. And they shot 53%. 25 assists, 53%. Great formula for a win. Chop gets on the board. The crowd goes crazy. Not bad.
And look, I know the quality of opponent takes a little bit of a hit, but... Just look back just a week ago when really nobody other than Trayvon wanted to shoot the ball. In the second half of that loss at Utah, Trayvon scored, 20-some points and it really had to do a lot of one-on-one things. Tonight, the 25 assists come on 31 made field goals. It's a pretty darn good percentage. If you do that, you know things are working pretty well.
Night and day. Earlier, I was trying to compare Trayvon to, Michael Jordan. Not that he plays Jordan. No. I know. You're a Bull fan. I understand. I'm saying not that he plays like Jordan, but his impact and role on the team is kind of how Jordan was with the Bulls. Okay, sure. Trayvon could score, whenever he wants, arguably. But he's got to get other people involved because it's not a one-man show. Kind of like Jordan. He needed to get the ball to Steve Kerr and B.J. Armstrong. Trayvon needs to get the ball to Kendall and needs to get the ball to a few others.
And you know what? You make a good point there because if you look at the first half numbers, Trey had 6 points in the first half when they were up 40-25 at the break. He didn't have to do a ton in the first half. He finishes with 16 because he had, I believe, 8 in one spurt. He had 8 of UNLV's 10 points early in the second half. Hit a couple threes. Scored 2 free throws, hit a bank shot, or no, a layup driving down the middle. On Saturday, I thought one of the more impressive things from that game was that Trayvon Willis did nothing memorable. This is a guy who's had to carry this team so much this year, and in a game where they win 70-39 comfortably, the game's outcome is never in question. He did not do one thing that stands out to you, that you really remember. And I think that's a sign of growth for this team.
Yeah, and even tonight, Trayvon, leads the way with 16. Standback also with 16. Trayvon only played 22 minutes tonight. And sat a lot late. Great to keep his legs fresh for the stretch run here for UNLV. And speaking of the stretch run, probably the biggest test left on the schedule at Air Force on Saturday. Obviously, Air Force... not a power in the league by any means. But
last place right now.
Last place, and I think they've got one league win in their last 25, 26 games. Mm-hmm. However, very tough to play in that arena. In that town, in that city with the high altitude, and just anywhere on the road in the Mountain West. What does UNLV need to do to carry over the Colorado State win, carry over the TCU win from tonight, into this game at Air Force?
Well, I think the one of the most important things is you'll be taking Air Force out of its comfort zone. Look, Air Force played UNLV very close in the first
always
meeting.
Always plays UNLV
because they make UNLV do what they want to do. They're going to make UNLV guard them for, as Chase Stanback put it, 30-33 seconds each possession. They give you a small margin for error. Now, granted, the struggle for Air Force the last couple of years is that when they do force teams to cough up a little bit, they haven't found a way to capitalize on that. But I think if UNLV can have a good defensive presence early like they did Saturday, like they did tonight, and hit shots early, look, Air Force is not a team that's going to play well from behind.
Yeah, exactly, and I think UNLV is so athletic. It really, Air Force is a team that can't match them up. UNLV, if they win on Saturday, they'll be 22-7. Close off Saturday following with Wyoming, probably another win. The game's here, 23-7. If they're 23-7, they'd be 11-5 in the league, a league that's going to get 3 teams into the tournament. I think everybody agrees on UNLV would be the 3 seed. New Mexico, BYU, UNLV. What would they need to do in the Mountain West tournament to get into the big dance to fill the 65?
Avoid losing that first game.
Okay,
I think they're pretty solidly in. If they win these last 2 games, but a loss, if they were to get upset on their home floor in the first round, like they did last year against San Diego State, that's going to really put them in some testy waters. Get to the semifinals of that tournament. I don't think they're going to be sweating a whole lot on Selection Sunday a day later.
Wow, and considering where they were just a week and a half ago, the 3 straight losses, you said it earlier in the newsroom when we were chatting about the game, a distant memory.
Exactly. And, you know, but the UNLV players will tell you that it hasn't exited their minds. They still remember it. And not wanting to feel like that again is a source of motivation right now for this team. Don't undersell that. So for Ray Brewer, this is Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. We will talk to you again very soon. Can't give you an exact date, but it'll be very soon. Promise. Again, for Ray Brewer, this is Ryan Green. Stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels for all of your UNLV coverage needs. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.